our next session. The text is taken from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, which reads, "And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him.' But the people answered him, 'Not a word.'" We find our text in the midst of Israel's rebellion against God. And if you're wondering when that happened, it was more frequent than you might think. Because in the Old Testament, the Israelites had a bad habit of turning away from God. Despite the miracles and signs they witnessed and the wonders that God had done amongst them as a people, the freedom from slavery, the land they inhabited, the law, the prophets, the promise of redemption, despite all of this, God had chosen them as a holy nation, sanctified and set apart for his glorious purposes. They were to be different than the nations around them, but they consistently turned their back to God and chose to participate in the evils of the world around them. And one of these evils was idolatry. And what is idolatry? According to Unger's Bible Dictionary, idolatry in a general sense is the paying of divine honors to any created thing, the ascription of divine power to natural agencies. In other words, idolatry is giving to someone or something the praise and honor that only God is due. And this can take many forms, oftentimes in the form of nature worship. The sun, the moon, the stars, trees, rivers, etc. Or the elements of nature, the power of nature, fire, water, lightning. It can also take the form of hero worship or the worship of deceased ancestors, idealism, or other mental abstractions, such as justice or wisdom. To put it simply and one step further, idolatry is anything that holds the preeminent position of our thoughts and efforts, be it money, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, a job, or adherence to the law. For we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind above and beyond everything else. If anything preoccupies our heart more than God, we are at risk of idolatry. And this is where we find Elijah, declaring to King Ahab and the people of Israel, "If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." Baal was a false god, commonly worshipped by the surrounding nations. And Ahab, who was king of northern Israel, took it upon himself, influenced by his wife Jezebel, to build a temple to Baal, an altar and a wooden image, as though it had been a trivial thing. The scripture tells us Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So what does all this have to do with us today? Let's take a closer look at our text and the background of the story, and we will make two applications. First, we must know the truth. We cannot serve God if we do not know who he is or what he wants from us. And second, and very closely connected, is that we cannot serve two masters. We must give ourselves fully to the one true God. We cannot be of the world and of God. So first, we must know the truth. Elijah says, "If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." And so we must make a choice. And in order to make the right choice, we must know the truth. The Israelites knew God in a way that we do not. Beginning with Abraham, well over 1,000 years previous to the text, and from the time Moses led them out of Egypt and Joshua brought them into the promised land, they witnessed miracle after miracle, embedding in their minds exactly who they were serving. And if you'd like to turn to Judges chapter 2, starting in verse 7, we read, "So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel." And then in verse 10, "When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. they forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreth, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hands of those who plundered them. So, and thus was the circular pattern of sin and repentance and deliverance by God through the time of judges, until the people demanded a king and they received Saul, followed by David, Solomon, and Rehoboam, at which point the kingdom was divided in two. This is a long history filled with great victories and defeats, and we don't have time to go through it all. But if we notice in verse 10 and 11 of Judges 2, it was when the people did not know the Lord that they began to do evil and serve false gods. Do you know the Lord? Are you certain? Many people say they know the Lord, but Jesus is clear in Matthew 7 that not everyone who says they know the Lord truly does. And therefore, the truth is vital, and we need to fill ourselves with the knowledge of God. If we are not filled with the truth and knowledge of God, what are we filled with? The truth of the world? The world doesn't have any truth. It is governed by the devil, the father of lies, which is why the people were led astray over and over again when they turned to the world. In Romans 12:2, Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need to renew our minds and replace worldly wisdom with divine wisdom. And how do we do that? Well, in the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John 17:17, he prays to the Father on behalf of the saints and says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." If we want to obtain divine wisdom, if we want to cleanse our minds from the filth of the world, then we need to be sanctified by the truth through the word of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit. It is our responsibility to learn about him and to cultivate a relationship with him through the study of scripture, prayer, and worship. And what needs to be said is there is no excuse for laziness or negligence. For there's nothing in this world more important than God. Where is your focus? And to whom does your heart belong? Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Are you too busy for God? Do you love other things or people more than God? Remember what I said about idolatry. If anything preoccupies our heart more than God, we are at risk. If we don't have the time or willingness to learn the truth that God has given to us, why should God have the time for us? Though we praise him for his mercy and grace. Now let us consider our second point of application. We cannot serve two masters. When Elijah came to the people of Israel, he said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. They didn't know what to say. We can't know what was in their minds, but we can surmise, in all likelihood, that some of them were fully devoted to one or the other. And so Israel was divided as a whole. But also that some of them were genuinely torn between God and Baal, fearful of the consequences of choosing God. For we read in 1 Kings 18:4 that Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, had massacred the prophets of the Lord. And the ones who remained were in hiding, thanks to the help of Obadiah. The text doesn't say whether or not the people were also persecuted, but I think it's safe to say that when the prophets of the Lord are murdered, the people are also in danger. So they stay quiet and oftentimes go with the flow against their belief, against God, doing or saying things that offend God, fearful for the safety of their flesh. So Elijah devised a test to prove who was the true God. He told them to have the 450 prophets of Baal bring two bulls and choose whichever one they please and prepare it for a sacrifice, to place it on top of the wood but put no fire underneath it. And Elijah would do the same. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And of course, the prophets of Baal, speaking to a lump of wood, had no answer, despite the fact that 450 of them were calling on their God from morning till evening, leaping about, and eventually cutting themselves in hope of a response. But when the time for evening sacrifice was upon them, Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He dug a trench around the altar, prepared the wood, put the bowl on top of it, and told the people to fill up 4 water pots and pour it on top of the bowl and on top of the wood. And when that was done, he told them to fill it a second time and a third, and they poured the water on top of the wood and the sacrifice, and the water ran all around the altar and filled the trench. And then he called on the Lord to do as was expected. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And it took a mighty sign to turn the people back to God. And let us pray that we are never in such a position. Because this side of Christ, miracles of that nature haven't happened all that often. But it's easy to see how they got there. The evil that is in the world and the devil behind the scenes hates the light of God's truth. And he will do whatever he can to obscure it and confuse it through fear, intimidation, trickery, deceit. He successfully deceived Adam and Eve and has been working his iniquity ever since. Those who are unsuspecting, who don't know Christ and his words, and those who have no foundation will be swayed by the wind, afraid and unsure because they don't know the truth. And without the sword of the Spirit, how could they possibly fight back? And this is why knowing the truth is so important. It is part and parcel with serving God properly. We cannot effectively serve God without knowing his word. But we come back to the Israelites, torn between God and Baal. Had they known the might and power of God from the beginning, had they trusted and put their faith in him, they would never have gone along with anything related to Baal. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who defied Nebuchadnezzar when he wanted them to bow down to a statue, or David, who stood against a Goliath, their strength and faith preserved their peace in the face of danger, and God rewarded them for it. Friends, you must choose, like the Israelites, whom you will serve. Make a decision and follow it with all of your heart, doing the work that is necessary. No one is threatening you or demanding that you worship Baal, but they are demanding that you accept their sinful lives. They are demanding to teach your children lies about the nature of man and woman. They are demanding that you shut up about it. And what will you do? Will you serve God, or will you fearfully serve the world? You cannot do both. Will you speak up for the truth, or will you be quieted because you don't know the truth? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. It's God or the world. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Brothers and sisters, if you have been saved by the blood of Christ, then you have the Spirit of God within you. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The Israelites may have been fearful of persecution, and we might be fearful of persecution. But remember that Jesus told his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We cannot serve God and the world. For the world hates God, and so you must choose. But how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your mercy and grace, the salvation that your Son has given to us. Lord, we ask you for strength in the times of this evil world to bolden us, strengthen us, and etch your truth in our hearts. Lord, we need you in all things, every day. And we ask that you light our path. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for this beautiful weather. And we ask that your Spirit guide the rest of this service. We thank you. We praise you. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ. Amen.